Good to see each and every one of you. I have had something on my mind for some time. I pray that the Lord would bless it abundantly. As your pastor, I have been given the task to feed the sheep and the lambs. I have been given the task of being a steward of the things that God has in His Word. And being a steward of God's Word means I should handle it and dispense it out to you fully. Would you like to have, if you ordered half of a thing of nachos, would you only want half? Or would you just want the nachos without the sauce? Or would you eat the sauce without the nachos? Or would you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without peanut butter? Or without bread? We're instructed in the Scriptures to give the whole counsel of God as ministers. That means that you just don't get to eat dessert every Sunday. Amen? What I'd like to talk to you about today is receiving. The Bible says, comfort in Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What do you think that means? Did she go out and achieve for her sins? Or did she go out and receive a reward, a reward to cover her sins? No. She received of the Lord's hand double. That's a curious word, isn't it? Double. What does it mean, double for all your sins? Well, it means that a lot of things, and you could go into a long thing about it, but not only did He save you from your sins and set your feet upon a rock, but He also saved you to something, which is heaven's pure work, right? So in this life only, we just don't have a hope in Christ. Y'all see that? Y'all see how that He saved us from our sins and He let us know about it, so we've received double. There's a lot of doubles that we've received. But I want to talk about some rubber meets the road things today about what we've received of the Lord's hand. You know, that's comforting to know that we've received something of the Lord, isn't it? It's comforting for us to know that He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And in that sense, Brother Chuck, all the work is finished. But your work is not done. Your work is not done. The work of Christ in redemption, in salvation, is finished. But your work is not done. Our work is not done. Turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And we find a situation here in the parable of the sower. Y'all familiar with that, right? The parable of the sower. Verse 3, it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Do you know what a sower is? It's not talking about a person with needle and thread and garments sewing up holes. It's talking about a person that cast out seeds and plant and on the top of the ground. Like if you see somebody, and we don't plant that way much over here, unless you're planting really small stuff like clover or something like that. You don't. Or a person that's seeding with one of those seeders that just cast it out, right? That's a sower. He's sowing seeds. And we see that when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. Fowls came. That's a bird. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And they sprang up fast because they had no deepness of earth. They didn't get down very far. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns. Y'all know, like a briar bush. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the disciples didn't really understand this. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, and he went on to teach them some more, and they said, "Tell us, what do you mean by the parable of the sower?" And Jesus said, they asked him, "Why do you talk to these people in parables?" You know what a parable is? It's a story. This is a story. It's a story that is simple to understand. You got a man out there sowing seeds, and some of them fall on stony places, some of them fall among thorns, and some of them by the wayside, and some of them in good ground, right? Where they get down about where they're supposed to be. Gets down about the level that it's supposed to be. And it comes up. And that fell in good ground, some brings forth really bountifully. Some brings forth not, you know, you got varying degrees of bounty. But all the other three situations, Jesus instructs the disciples and tells them exactly what this means. He says, "Hear what I'm telling you. Hear what I'm saying. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So, the person that receives seed by the wayside, all these people are this ground, is people, right? The good ground, the ground some of them by the wayside, some of them are in with the briars. Some of them have a hot sun come upon them. These are people. These are different situations than where the word is sown. This is a man that received it by the wayside. This is a man that has lack of understanding. Because Jesus said, this man understands it not. But that which is sown in his heart, right? That would intend me to, it would, to me, Jesus intended to describe the person that was out of the way. Out of the way of the sower. He was not in the path that Jesus is talking about. Not in the righteous path. This is a person that's out in the ditch or in the weeds somewhere. This is a person that doesn't understand a whole lot about God. This is a person that doesn't understand a whole lot about the ways of the kingdom. And when they hear it, they love it. But because they have lack of understanding and don't really desire to get understanding, then Satan comes in, and because they're out in the weeds, right? They're out on the wayside. And he plucks that which is out, which is sown in their heart, and they kind of forget about it. And they stay in the weeds, right? Then you got one that Jesus says, he that receives seed, see, we're talking about receiving things today. He that receives seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and again, with joy, receives it, and hath not root in himself. This is a man that's not deeply rooted. Kind of akin to the man that's out on the wayside. Doesn't have any root in himself. And this is the kind of people that will stay with you for a minute or a little while, and then they'll be off in the weeds again. He says, Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended or stumbles. So this man receives the word with joy, and every time some little heat comes, little, you know, can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. These are the kind of people that just when somebody turns on the eye, they're out. They're gone. They like the word as long as it's easy. Amen. They like the word as long as it doesn't ruffle their feathers none. They like the word as long as they can perform it and not have to be bothered too bad. But as soon as they're bothered by it or it ruffles their feathers, they're out. He also that receives seed among the thorns. This is a person that receives seed that's out really in the, they're past the weeds. They on into the thorny places. In the briars. Is he that heareth the word. You know, all of them hear the word, right? All of them hear the word. It's sown in their heart, right? But other things overtake it, right? This man, or this person, this situation, is a man that receives the word and he's out there in the thorns. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becometh unfruitful. Now this is a bad situation. I mean, all these situations are bad, right? If a man hears the word and doesn't have any root in himself and he continues until the heat's on and then he's out. Then you got a person that was sown in his heart and he was out on the wayside and just kind of wandering around in life. Wandering around and he, by chance, hears the word, and then he's so engrossed in the wayward way that it doesn't find any root either. Satan plucks it out. This man is so caught up in the world that he hears good, sound word of God, and but he's so engrossed in the world that it chokes it out. Can you imagine that? Choking out the Word of God. It can happen. And it has happened. And it still continues to happen. Because this world is shining. The things in this world are shining. And I was watching a movie the other day. I like to watch animated movies, you know. And there was a movie called Moana. Y'all seen Moana? Y'all see that? There was a crab down there, and he had on, he liked shiny stuff, and he even sang a song about being shiny. He just loved all that stuff, and his shininess, talking about him on his own self and all the shiny things that he had, it kind of blinded him, and he didn't get and he couldn't pay attention because he was diverted. His attention was diverted, and they made away with one of the things that they had to get to save the world or whatever. So the shine he was talking about, I'm so shiny, and he didn't even realize what they were doing, and then they were gone. Now that's what happens to us in this world. That's the man that receives the word that's in the thorns. He's more concerned about, and he don't really even know that he's in the thorns. Really don't even know. And he receives the word, and he doesn't pay much attention to it because he's got more attention paid on the world than he does the word. You know, I just noticed that there's only one letter difference between world and word. I don't know if that means anything, but world and word. Now, I believe every one of these situations is talking about a child of God. But woe unto us if we're in one of these three groups. The other one is the good ground that received seed. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, number one, understandeth it, and bears fruit. Now, if you're hearing the word, these are situations here. You got to hear the word, you got to understand it, and you got to bear fruit in it. Now, the bearing the fruit might be hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That if you plant one seed, that you'll get 100 tomatoes off of it. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be great for one plant. 160, 130. I'd be happy with 15 at my house. I just can't seem to grow tomatoes no more. So, I don't want to get off on that stump. But I tell you, that is something that frustrates me as a farmer and sowing seed and planting my tomatoes is when they don't bring forth fruit, that would, yeah, I just cut them things down. One year I got so mad I just cut them all down. I just mowed them all down when it was in the middle of the season. Everybody else's tomatoes was all coming in and mine wasn't, and I just mowed them down because it frustrated me so bad. Because they weren't bearing fruit. The plants looked good. They were nice and tall. They had plenty of green leaves on them. I mean, it wasn't that they were dead. They looked like they were healthy, but they really weren't good for anything. They weren't producing fruit like they should have been. So I took the stakes that held them up out, and I mowed them down. That's bad news, ain't it? So, we're talking about receiving seed. Things that we've received. I want to ask you this morning, before we go any further, Which one of these situations fits you? Are you off in a ditch by the wayside? You have lack of understanding? Or are you the one that's got the stony places and don't really have much root in yourself? Or are you in the thorns and are deceived by riches? Or are you the good ground? I want to ask you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand up, you know, which one. But you know. You know. Now, I want to, the Lord talked about receiving things a lot, didn't He? Matthew 25. This is verse 14. The Lord's talking about kingdom living. Okay? All these things are, He's talking about living in the kingdom of God. He's not talking about getting in it. He's not talking about all that. He's talking about living the kingdom life. You remember we spent a long time talking about kingdom principles, didn't we? It was over a year. I'm still talking about it. I just stopped naming my sermons the Kingdom 1, the Kingdom 27. I just stopped calling them that. The whole Bible is talking about the kingdom, okay? Chapter Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Whose goods are they? His goods. Are they the servants' goods? No. Were the servants called or did they just go? They were called. He called his servants, right? He called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Who delivered them to them?
He did.
God did. The master did. And unto one of the servants he gave five talents. Y'all know what a talent is, don't you? It's not talking about singing and dancing and all that. It's not talking about any kind of personal talent that you might have, like being able to make beautiful furniture or something like that, or work with wood or talent with a green thumb. He's not talking about that kind of talent. A talent is a piece of money. Like we have dollars, they had talents. Unto one of the servants, he gave five talents. To another one, he gave two. Who gave them the talents? Is it up to the master to give out what he pleases? Did the servants whine and cry about how many talents they got? No, they didn't. This kind of plain, ain't it? This is plain preaching. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. He that received, well, and he gave to every man according to his several ability. Do you think the man that got two talents had the same ability as the one that he gave five? No, he didn't. Who figured that out? The master did. Now, he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made other five talents. Well, he gave to one of them one talent. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one, y'all remember what he did? He went and digged it in the earth and hid it. Hid his Lord's money. He hid them. Or hid that talent that God delivered unto him. Did all these people earn their talents? No, they were given their talents. Did they earn any interest on their talents? Yes, they did. They used what the Lord had given them to gain, to be fruitful. to be fruitful. But the one, and I tell you what, the one that had one, I mean, that's, my Bible reference here says that's about $5,280. That's a lot of money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Did he come the next day? How long was it? It was a long time. What did he do with them? He reckoned with them. Y'all know what that means? Y'all know what reckoning means? They sing songs about it, country songs. There's a day of reckoning. There's a lot of songs that have reckon in it. It's a country word that we all use, I reckon. But it ain't exactly the way that we use it when we talk. To reckon. When I say, I reckon, that means I think or I guess it might be that way. Reckon is a stronger word. Reckon means that something is the way that it is. And it's an accounting term, really. And it means that if I reckon that my account has $100 in it, it's got $100 in it. And it's settling up the books, making sure that they're right. Okay? Now, it's closely related to reconcile. To reconcile something means that you make it right, all add up. To reckon something means that it is added up. It is all added up and it's done. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents, he came. And on the day of reckoning, that man came. And I think he probably came. Maybe he wasn't scared to come. But when he was called, he came. And he had his 5 talents. And he said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. He doubled his Lord's money. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And what did he call him?
Servant.
Good and faithful servant, right? Good and faithful. Now, then after that, he says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Was the Lord pleased with his faithfulness over a few things that he'd given him? Yep, he was. Now, I will make thee ruler over many things. That sounds good, don't it? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That sounds better to me, don't it you? He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. He said, well done, thou good and faithful. Thou hast been good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Did the first one that gained 5 get a better blessing than them that gained 2? It was exactly the same, wasn't it? The blessing of the master was exactly the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Both of them, exactly the same. What about the last one? Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. What's the mindset of this servant? The mindset of the servant is he's scared. He's paralyzed in his servanthood. He's paralyzed because of fear. He's paralyzed because of, I would say, lack of faith. He's paralyzed in, a person like this, the master saw ability in him, but he could not see it in himself. And he was scared. And he hid it. And there was a day of reckoning, wasn't it? It was. And that servant came to the master that day. And he says, I knew you was a hard man. Have mercy on me. I didn't really mean it. I mean, surely you can forgive me, Lord, for being disobedient or slothful. Surely you can overlook that. Because I was afraid. His Lord answered and said unto him, that's okay, son. Don't worry about it. Come on into the joy of the Lord. Is that what he said? No, it's not. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and I gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Even if you didn't think that you had any talents, didn't think that you had any ability or skill, at least you could have done was drawn some interest on. But you didn't even do that. You just hid my money. Now I'm just getting back what I gave you. It hasn't benefited me at all. You haven't benefited me at all. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But unto him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Listen to what happens. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like a good place to be? I don't know if it's hell or not. It don't matter to me. It don't matter if he's talking about eternal hell or just hell on earth. It don't matter to me. It's not a place I want to be. Not a place I want to be. Is it a place that sounds good to you? You looking forward to making that trip? Figure out which kind of person you are. Now, Jesus, as he sent the 12 out, you know, the 12 disciples, and he gave them all instructions, and he said, you go out, and he said, you have been freely... he says, heal the sick. It's in Matthew 10 and 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received. Isn't that great? The disciples didn't have anything of themselves, but the Lord gave them things. He gave them powers, didn't he? He gave them the ability to cleanse the lepers. He gave them the ability to heal the sick, didn't he? They didn't have that ability, did they? But they had received it, didn't they? Didn't they? They received that gift. And the Lord said, if you've received that gift, you've received it freely. Freely give. You see the point that Jesus was making? You've got the gift. You give that gift. Because you didn't do anything to receive it. Amen? Amen? You didn't do anything to receive it, folks. Neither did the apostles. They didn't receive anything that they earned or worked for on that. They didn't do anything that to cause the Lord to give them that gift. But the Lord did give them that gift, and He says, you've freely been given things. Now, you freely give them back out. You've received these things freely. Freely give them back. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Y'all there yet? We sang a song about this morning. I wonder if y'all ever read this. Did y'all know that song was actually in the Bible? A concept, cast thy bread upon the waters? That sounds kind of crazy, don't it? Sounds kind of strange for a man to walk out in front of the water and throw some bread out there. Unless you're feeding ducks or something. Right? Sounds strange. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. How many days?
Many.
Is it going to come back to you tomorrow? Probably not. Probably not. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight. What do you think that's talking about? I happen to think he's talking about days. 7 days. That really to teach us that we ought to be doing, casting our bread every day. He says, and don't just stop after seven. You keep on doing it. And also to eight. That means the starting of the next week. You keep on doing it. It's not... You don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine. How many of y'all have done something good? Cast your bread upon the waters and you felt good about it and you said, phew, I'm done with that for a while. That's me. I've done that. Okay? I've done that. I've done my due. I'm caught all back up for a little while. That's not the tenor of how the Lord tells us to do things in the Scriptures. He tells us to keep on doing it. You've been freely given things. Now it's up to you to freely give it back. Because you didn't do anything to get it. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. You get this parable. Now I think that this is a parable. He says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Y'all get the picture? If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And what does that bring? It brings rain, right? This is simple stuff. The Bible's simple. It brings rain. What does a rain do? It filters down, calls bread to the sower and all that. Fruit calls all that stuff. And then what does it do? It empties finally into the ocean. And then the clouds form back over the ocean and they get more rain. And they get more moisture and more rain. And then what happens? They dump it out again. It's a cycle, isn't it? It's a cycle.
God knows about His creation, right? And He knows how to teach us about how His creation spills over into the points He wants to make for us. Or that the point He does make for us. Not that He wants to. He does make the point. If we're smart enough to hear it. The rain. What would happen if the clouds never spilled their rain? It'd be a desert. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? You understand what God's talking about? He's talking about the church. He's talking about your life. He's talking about the kingdom of God. If you don't give, and it don't have to be to the church, it can be in addition to your giving to the church. And it should be in addition to giving to the church. Because how have we received? How did the clouds receive the rain? Did they do anything to get that rain? Nope. What'd you do to get all the stuff you got? The Lord counted you worthy to have it. For what purpose? I mean, I'm preaching to me. For what purpose? If clouds never dump their rain onto the earth, what would happen? Be a desert. Do you think the Lord knows how it's supposed to go? The Lord knows all about it. The Lord talks so much about money and giving. Not just money. Look at the man that was the Good Samaritan. What did he do? Oh, it was money, but he took time to go out and to help that brother. That man was half dead. That meant he was half alive, I guess. Almost dead. And he went and he helped him. Now, let's read. Remember where droughts come from. Don't ever forget where droughts come from. If you're in a drought spiritually in your life, think about the clouds and the rain. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. That's pretty simple, ain't it? Where you cast your fruit, seeds, that's where they're going to come up. That's where they're going to come up. Here's a big one. Y'all listen to this. Solomon was so smart, wasn't he? He was so wise. He didn't get that from himself. God gave him that. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. That's not the only thing he said. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Do you like harvest? Have you ever planted anything? I haven't had a garden in several years. You know why? Because I quit planting it. If you're not reaping anything, have you planted any seed? It's simple, ain't it? The Bible's simple. If you're in a drought,
What kind of cloud are you? If you're not reaping anything, what kind of sower are you? If you and look, get this. He says, he that observeth the wind. If I'm waiting on the conditions to be right, that's the point. If I'm waiting on the conditions to be right before I go out and sow my seed, maybe I'm thinking about if the Spirit leads me to talk to somebody about the Word, and I'm like, they won't take it. They won't receive it. How many of y'all have done that? I've done it. How many of y'all have said, he's not going to do it? Now, there are some things that in the Scriptures we need to understand. Cast not thy pearl before swine, lest he turn again and rend you. There's a balance here. We got to be able to understand some stuff. But a man that looks at the wind and says, I don't know about that, and questions the wind, the Spirit, if the Spirit's leading you to do something, then you better do it. But if you're waiting on all the conditions to be right before you sow anything, you're not going, certainly not going to reap nothing. And he said that the man that looks at the clouds, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What is that? If he's always looking up to the sky and he's like, I better not go out there. It might rain today. It might rain. I better not get out there and get it. I'm going to have to wait. Do y'all see us in that? Do y'all see us in the things that we've received and we're afraid to give? The things that we've received, we're afraid to give them because we're regarding the clouds and say, I don't know. We're afraid. I'm not going to go out there because I'm afraid it might rain, it might not turn out good. See, we want to prognosticate the end and not even start because we don't know how the end is going to come up. Faith, hello, faith. Who can see around the corner? God can. Can you? No, we can't. But God can. If God's leading you, have y'all ever followed the leadership of the Spirit and had it turn out wonderful and you say, man, I don't know, the Lord was just be praised because what He told me to do, He brought it to pass. And He gave me more than I ever expected. Here's the thing, stop expecting stuff. Stop expecting you know the outcome of something so you don't start it. And stop expecting that the Lord's going to give you something if you give this. Stop expecting so much. And just start being like a cloud. Start being like a cloud. When you're full of rain, rain. When you're in the dry season, gather up some rain. If you got some rain, rain it. If you got a talent, use it. Don't bury it. Be the good ground of the earth. Be the good ground. He says, in the morning, well, he says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You don't know. You know, I had a lady. Several times I've done this. Had some people, you know how the people will do. Makes me feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, but that's okay. People come up to me when I'm pumping gas or when I'm, wanting to pay for the parking in Nashville or wherever. People will come up to me and they'll say,
you know, especially if it's Sunday morning, I got a suit on. They'll come and they'll say, excuse me, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And I'm not telling you this to toot my horn. This is for an instruction. And I give them $20 or however much. And they go on their way, and someone will say, all they're going to do is buy beer with it. All they're going to do is buy whatever with it. Guess what? I don't know whether they're going to buy beer or groceries. It don't matter. From God's perspective, it don't matter. Because if I feel impressed to give by the Spirit, if I feel impressed to give, then I should give it. Because who's leading you to do it anyway? Does God know what He's talking about? God knows what they're going to do with that. But if God leads you to do it, you give it to them. Now, whether they receive a blessing from it, it's not your concern. What they do with that is not your concern. If you feel impressed with God. Now, I did tell a lady one time, I said, she goes, I'm hungry and I don't have any groceries to feed my babies with or whatever. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to give you this. I said, but if you don't use it for groceries, God's going to rain down fire upon your head. I told her that. Because I wanted her to use it if she wasn't lying to me. But I did feel impressed to give it. I don't know how that, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I felt pretty strong about it at the time. But that really didn't matter. It really didn't matter. Because it was on me to feel impressed to give her something. And I did. And the Lord, and I felt blessed of the Lord of that. Be like a full cloud. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.